sugar is in just about every processed food we eat, and we eat a lot of it. In spite of assurances to the contrary, some say the sugar of high fructose corn syrup is simply too sweet to eat. And as a consequence, we are becoming obese and diabetic. That there are two ways of seeing the staple of our diet leads us to ask, is high fructose corn syrup too sweet to eat?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned in to the 1063rd edition of the Food Chain right here on the GCN Radio Network. Hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Portofino who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Jason Struby on the boards. Hello, Jason.
Salutations.
Now, what did you bring in to eat today?
Actually, just coffee, really. Well,
you liar. I saw you have a whole bag of stuff to eat.
A lot of food with me.
What did you bring in?
Well, just some basics like a loaf of bread. Some peanut butter, almond butter and jelly. And what else do I have here? Graham crackers.
There you go. Typical boy food, okay?
Yeah.
Any sugar in any of that, you think?
Yeah, there's probably a lot of sugar, especially in these graham crackers and also in the almond butter.
Well, that's the subject of today's show is sugar, and we eat a lot of it. Folks.
Indeed.
10,000 years ago, we ate an estimated 20 teaspoons of sugar a year. That's 20 teaspoons of sugar a year. Somewhere along the line, we learned to extract the simple sugars from various plants and use those simple sugars to enhance our enjoyment of food and drink. And so we ate more sugar. Then in the 1970s, we learned how to extract fructose sugar from corn, which made our food and drink even sweeter. And so we ate even more sugar. Sweeter and cheaper, I guess. Today we are eating somewhere in the neighborhood of 140 pounds of sugar every year. Yes, we humans have gone from eating 22 spoons of sugar back when we were hunters and gatherers to eating 140 pounds of sugar today. Now look at us. Since we began adding the high fructose corn syrup in the 1970s, our obesity rates have more than tripled and our incidence of diabetes has increased by over 700%. Coincidence, you think? High fructose corn syrup may not be the only reason for obesity and diabetes, but some are saying this sugar is simply too sweet to eat. But obesity and diabetes may not be the only problems associated with high fructose corn syrup. According to a recent peer-reviewed study published in Environmental Health magazine, 45% of high fructose corn syrup samples tested were tainted with mercury, which the EPA says is a powerful neurotoxin that can impair speech, memory, and attention. Given how much high fructose corn syrup we consume, we simply must ask today, is high fructose corn syrup too sweet and too contaminated to eat? Well, today we've got in a very special person all the way from Germany to talk about high fructose corn syrup. We have Dr. Dana Flavin. Dr. Dana, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a very interesting topic and a very, very important one.
Now, I got to know, how did a girl from the Midwest end up as a PhD, MD, with a practice in Germany? There's a story.
Yeah, that's kind of a long story. I'm also now a professor in England, so I'm back and forth between Germany and England on a regular basis, teaching students plus doing research. So it's keeping me busy and out of trouble.
I guess it would. So what is your practice? What are you focused on?
Well, my main focus is actually on cancer.
On cancer, primarily on cancer.
Right, right. Absolutely. And I'm seeing more and more and more cancer nowadays, and the contamination is unbelievable, and we're seeing almost a 50% increase in cancer.
Why?
Well, I would say it's multifactorial. It has to do with diet, it has to do with pesticides, it has to do with GMOs, and it has to do with chemtrails and the general contamination from plastics, et cetera, shifting hormones in the body, and a lot of the heavy metals also, both in the chemtrails, but also in the water from mercury is one of them, but other metals that are getting in too.
You know, it sounds like modern times is the reason.
Yeah, well, you can say that again. It's like the conveniences nowadays are actually killing us, even though they're making our life convenient.
Well, let's go to sugar and the, of course, the amazing thing about today is the extent to which we become overweight and diabetic, and so everybody looks their and scratches their head and says, trying to figure out what the heck is going on, and most everybody seems to be pointing their finger at sugar. So let's kind of go there for a minute if we can. What exactly is sugar?
Well, sugar actually is a chemical substance that extracted from different types of beets or from corn, as they're doing. But the thing is that it depends on whether you're talking about a regular table sugar or whether you're talking about something that is synthetically in a ratio.
Well, I was talking about regular table sugar and trying to figure out why we crave it so much.
Oh, well, it increases dopamine in the brain. So many of the substances that cause addiction increase dopamine in the brain, and they make you happy.
And there it is, simple as that. Eat this food and get real happy. And we've been, I guess, eating sugar for a long, long time. Even back when we were hunters and gatherers, we found sugar in fruit, ripe fruit and whatnot, right?
Right, exactly. But it's at a lower ratio and a lower number that it doesn't suppress our immune system or cause a dependency. The problem is that when you eat pure sugar, just table sugar, for example, you increase your insulin release, and when you increase your insulin release, then after a period of time, your blood sugar drops again, causing you to crave more sugar. And so it gets into a vicious cycle. So if you...
So that...
Let's say you go out and you eat something like a chocolate bar, and or some sweets in general, and they'll satisfy your craving for about an hour, and then an hour later you're hungry again, but you want more. And the combination of the high from the dopamine that you're getting from the sugar plus the satiated effect from the sugar is something that makes everybody eat more. So they continue to eat more sugar. So it's like, if you eat, say, 100 grams of sugar versus 100 grams of protein, the 100 grams of sugar will fill you up just as fast as the protein, but it won't last more than, say, 20 minutes or half an hour, and then you'll be hungry again.
It's kind of like the difference between burning a log of pine in your fireplace and burning a log of oak. The pine goes poosh, and it's gone, and the oak burns for a long time. It's kind of a fair simile there.
Good one, a very good one. I would say that basically speaking, that's what happens. It's just that we get such a wonderful high from the sugar, feel that we've satisfied any hunger cravings, but then also the dopamine. And that's really something where I'm always concerned about children who get a lot of sugar in the very beginning. They get dependent on that rush of the dopamine.
It's a classic addictive cycle, isn't it, with the dopamine?
Yeah, isn't it scary? I mean, it's like with other people, it's alcohol or it's cigarettes, but with sugar, it's just as addicting. And the problem is, it's just as unhealthy, just a slower level.
Well, you know, we've gone in our human history from somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 teaspoons per year to 150 pounds or 140 pounds a year. Right. Is there a limit to how much sugar we can eat without shorting all the circuits?
Well, I think basically what we're doing is we are shorting the circuits right now already because of the fact that we're used to so much sugar. And the thing is that people want things sweeter and sweeter. That's the other problem. And what's happening is it's causing a hyperacidity in the body and lowering the immune system. So when you have a hyperacidity in the body, if you have any kind of inflammatory problems, regardless of whether it's arthritis or you just exercise too much or you you have fungal infections in your body, the acid contributes to all of these to make them worse.
So the more we eat, the worse it gets for us. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Today we're talking about sugar in general, high fructose corn syrup in particular. Is there a difference? What is this stuff doing to our body? If you look at the statistics, not very good. With us, we have Dr. Dana Flavin, a PhD, MD, and professor with a practice in Germany. She's tuning in from Germany today. And she is the founder of the Foundation for Collaborative Research. So anything you wanted to know about sugar, now is the time. You can join us at 831-566-4209. Right back.
Get this. You can earn a 5-6 or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
Houseplants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city green belts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at MetroFarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high-value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at MetroFarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at MetroFarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5-6 or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at MetroFarm.com. That's MetroFarm.com.
Well, how sweet it is to be a sugar monster, and we are all sugar monsters. I think eating somewhere in the neighborhood of 140 pounds of sugar per year to sweeten our food, make us feel good. But in the long run, really, is it making us feel good? What is it doing to our bodies, Dr. Flavin?
That's probably the million-dollar question here. Since this is a million-dollar product making money for an awful lot of people to replace the sugar, I was asked to write an article on high fructose corn syrup, and this was several years ago, and I thought, oh, high fructose corn syrup, big deal. Mom used to use fructose syrup in her frosting, so it can't be bad, until I started to read about it. And I began to see that what happens is that when people consume the high fructose corn syrup, with up to 55% fructose, it has a totally different metabolism in the body. And it's not like regular table sugar. What it does is it actually causes multiple toxicities. One of the toxicities is actually to the lining of the blood vessels. And one of the other toxicities is to the liver. It increases the triglycerides in the body, which start jamming up your blood vessels anyway. And the other thing and reason why a lot of people are getting so fat is that it alters the leptins and ghrelins that are important for satiation. In other words, your body normally would say, okay, well, we're going to increase leptins. I'm full now. I don't need any more food. But these hormones are completely altered so that if after 2 days, there was actually a study done in California on these large high fructose corn syrup drinks like some of the colas and so on. And they found that after 2 to 3 days of drinking one of these large sizes of these colas with the high fructose corn syrup in it, that the people weren't full anymore after what they would normally consume. So if someone would normally consume, let's say, a hamburger and a half a handful of fries, they would end up eating 2 hamburgers and 2 orders of fries because they weren't full.
Wow.
And they began to eat more. And this is why the servings became bigger. The people wanted more food. They ate more, and the volume that people are consuming is very often related to the fact that their hormones for satiation are just, they're out of whack. They're
you know, whack. It reminds me of the opium wars in China, kind of.
This is another war. This is a war against the sugar manufacturers to save money. And when they first produced high fructose corn syrup, it was actually 20% sweeter tasting than regular sugar, so, and it was cheaper.
Okay, so let's back up a little bit, because a lot of people, my father-in-law included, sugar is sugar. There's no chemical difference between sucrose and fructose sugars. Sugar is sugar. So let's kind of back up a little bit and see if we can pull the two apart and have a look at them. The sucrose is the plain old table sugar, right, we get from cane and beets, right?
Right, right.
When I was a, when I had a career as a teenage herbicide up in the Yellowstone River Valley of Montana, I hoed a lot of beets. And I always wondered what the heck we were doing with all those beets. And they were making sugar with them. And that's one of the sources of sugar. Sugar cane being the other case. And then there was the fructose sugar we're getting from corn.
Right.
Right? So there's two different kinds of sugar. But when people say sugar is sugar, are they the same?
Absolutely not. It's a chemical difference because you have a fructose and sucrose at excessively high fructose in your high fructose corn syrup that is not at all in the sucrose that we have. Sucrose can be modified to some fructose, but only a small percentage. So what we're doing is we're going into the body and fooling the body and telling the body, oh, we're having the sweetness that we were craving, but we're actually shifting the entire metabolism in our livers, as I said, to increase triglycerides. They found that when they fed animals this high fructose corn syrup, the animals developed things like impotence, damage in the lining of their blood vessels in their brain, also damage to their pancreas, so that they ended up getting diabetes. And the thing is, it's such a multi-million dollar market, probably billion dollar market, that nobody wanted to talk about it, but the data's all out there. And we know that diabetes is associated with the excess of sugar, regardless of whether it's regular sugar.
Right, right. So, and with respect to not wanting to talk about it, we did seek to get somebody from the corn industry to join us today to talk about this, but they are apparently very busy in Washington, D.C. these days, so they were unable to join us. But their answers to all of these objections that are being brought up right now can be found at cornsugar.com. So, or maybe .org, who knows, one of those two, but corn sugar, you Google that and you come up with the antithesis to what we're discussing today, if you so desire. So let's talk about sucrose and fructose. So sucrose contains both glucose and fructose, right?
Right.
And to break them down, the body digests them, correct?
Right, absolutely.
Okay, and those are the sugars we get from cane and beet. So you eat cane and beet sugar containing foods, and your body has to digest those sugars to process them. But fructose contains glucose and fructose, but they're not bound chemically, right?
Right, and they're also at a different ratio. And this ratio makes a heck of a difference in the liver because it pools it and sends it into another metabolism.
Yeah. Now, so what I understand, which is very, very little with respect to the chemistry of this, is that in high fructose corn syrup, the glucose and fructose are not bound chemically, so that the body does not need to metabolize them before the fructose goes straight to the liver and starts making fat. Is that right?
Exactly. You've been doing your homework. You're very good.
Okay, yeah. So that has some pretty interesting implications because if you eat, for example, the graham crackers with real sugar in it,
right,
your body has to metabolize that sugar before it's processed. But with high fructose corn syrup, it goes straight to the liver.
And
the liver starts making fat out of it.
Right, and it goes through another mechanism, and ironically, I didn't publish this, but ironically, this mechanism goes through a pathway that actually supports tumor growth. And they haven't really done many studies on that in relationship to animals with tumors to see if they enhance the tumor growth. We do know that it creates hyperacidity in general, but sugar itself, but the high fructose corn syrup is totally different and has a totally different metabolism and actually lowers oxygen in the cells.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is a little scary, and I'm beginning to wonder, is this also one of the reasons we're having so much cancer? I mean, we know that, as you mentioned earlier, about the mercury, and we know about the GMOs and most of the high fructose corn syrups made from GMO corn. So there's another problem coming in, and I think to myself, why can't we go back to natural things? I'd rather have the patients have a little bit of sugar and honey once in a while than to have the high fructose corn syrup, because no matter what they have for an illness, whether it's cancer or arthritis or any other disease that's fungal infections, parasites, or anything else, it's just going to enhance their growth.
Mm-hmm. Well, bottom line is that sugar makes everything taste better, because yes, it's sweet and it makes us feel good and we're happy. So even bad food can taste good with enough sugar in it, which is probably why we're eating so much sugar these days, I would suspect.
Just take a look at a loaf of bread. Just take a look at a loaf of bread, and there's hardly a loaf of bread anymore that's commercially available that doesn't have sugar in it, and either sugar or high fructose corn syrup, and most of them have switched over to the high fructose corn syrup just to save more money.
Jason's got his loaf of bread in his hand.
Yes.
What does it say about sugar, Jason?
Let's see. This one
depends on where you got it too.
Actually,
is it organic? Is it not organic?
I gotta play this break.
Oh, we have to take a break.
But,
there we go.
Get back with that after the break.
Okay, so we're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we're gonna find out how much sugar Jason's loaf of bread has in it. And do we really need? Isn't a loaf of bread kind of carbohydrate sugar in itself?
Well, that's another story.
That's another story. So we have sugar on top of sugar, in our loaf of bread. So, folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson. Today we're talking about sugar. We're looking at how we became so incredibly addicted to the sugar, what it's doing to us, the different kinds of sugar, and especially the sugar of high fructose corn syrup, which now makes up most all of the processed sugar that we add to our food. You are invited to participate if you so desire. 831-479-1080, 479-1080, right back. Well, how sweet it is. How sweet is that bread you have in your hand there, Jason?
Not too sweet.
Not too sweet?
Nah.
What about your graham crackers?
They're pretty sweet.
Another story, right?
They're very sweet.
Well, hey, folks, I have a confession to make. I do enjoy Coca-Cola. As a matter of fact, I enjoy up to 2 Coca-Colas every year. But the Coca-Colas that I do get, I get from a little Mexican grocer on one of my travels, and I know exactly where they are, but because they have real cane sugar in the Coca-Cola. So a couple times a year, I'll have me a Coca-Cola and really enjoy it. But the other Coca-Cola, that stuff with the high fructose corn syrup in, it just does not seem to ring my bell, so I just don't drink it. And maybe, you know, having 2 Coca-Colas a year, not a bad deal. What do you think, Dr. Dana? Is it bad to have a little sugar?
No, I think sometimes a little sugar is necessary, especially if people have cravings or their magnesium levels are low. That's why people often crave sweet things when their magnesium levels are low, just to let you know. But a little bit of sugar once in a while is really not a problem. And even a tiny bit every day, a half a teaspoon in your tea or coffee or something, if that's it, then that's not really a problem. But the problem is really the overconsumption of sugar. But the other problem, as we were discussing earlier, is that since most of the sugar in the fruits is being replaced by high fructose corn syrup, what it's doing is creating that fructose to go to fat. So it goes straight to fat. Doesn't do anything to really help give you the energy that you need. For example, your brain needs glucose, but it doesn't need the fructose. And so what happens is you're not feeding the cells that normally would need a little bit of glucose. You normally break down glucose in your body to use for your brain and for your different organs for a small amount. But if it's too much, and especially if it's the wrong sugar, then you're just deceiving your entire body, and it's just creating fat and acid.
Well, with respect to that great transition from simple sugars of cane and beet to the high fructose corn syrup that we're now using, this transition really took place in the 1970s. And from what I understand, it was affected by implementing a tariff on imported cane sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a pretty clever thing to do. They instituted a tariff, ostensibly to protect domestic sugar production. They wanted to maintain sugar production. But in effect, what that really did was increase the price of sugar to a real high levels and therefore make it feasible for companies to replace that simple sugar with high fructose corn syrup.
Well, it also started depleting the manufacturing of regular sugar. So you're using your sugar beets, you're using Montana, that was in South Carolina for years, using your cane, sugar cane. That whole system is going down, down, down. Most of the sugar nowadays in sugar cane is being converted into rum in the islands. And because the high fructose corn syrup is much cheaper and it's more difficult and more expensive to get the regular sugar, that's why the conversion to high fructose corn syrup has maintained its energy, unfortunately. And I mean, I'm a former FDA official from the Department of Toxicology and the Bureau of Foods. If I were able to decide right now for or against cane sugar, high fructose corn syrup, excuse me, I would ban it. I would absolutely ban it. And I would say that there was a limited amount that people were allowed to consume and that they could not have high fructose corn syrup anymore in these soft drinks because it's destroying the health of the public.
Well, if you were to say that, you would have to say that in direct opposition to the corn folks who have very big offices in Washington, D.C. And you would have to, you know, contend against them who, and they are very good contenders. I mean, these folks are really good at lobbying in Washington, D.C. So how would you argue against something so powerful?
That's a very good question. And that's one of the problems we have nowadays in many of the health issues is that the lobbying for the companies, regardless of whether we're talking about GMOs, which I'm totally against, and by the way, tell everyone to write their senators to have GMO labeling on the packaging because this is terrible. The data is very conclusive that it is detrimental to the health, but that's another story. As far as lobbying goes for the corn syrup, it's very difficult to be able to fight these systems because even now, if you look at the internet, you will see that the information out there is deliberately put out there to basically deceive people that high fructose corn syrup isn't a problem at all. And the scientific articles and the research on the animals, et cetera, and on humans is conclusive that it causes obesity and that it leads to diabetes, leads to impotence. I mean, for heaven's sakes, I would say that I read every label and I won't touch the stuff. And if I'm starving, I'll go and pick up an apple. I would rather have a decent fruit than to have something that is dangerous for me. Once in a while, like once a month, maybe, one small little bit of high fructose corn syrup is not going to kill you or mess up your entire triglycerides and so on. But the problem is that people are also consuming too much. And I don't know how to go against the whole large lobbies for things that are toxic to the general public. And that was one of the things that I had to do as a toxicologist there. I had to find data to confirm whether something was dangerous or not dangerous. And this is something with the high fructose corn syrup. Were I at FDA today, I don't know, I'd probably end up being shot by a lobbyist.
locked up in jail. Dr. Dana Flavin, somebody break her out, please. Is that why you're in Germany? Is that why you're in Germany and not here?
No, I'm in Germany because many years back I married a German scientist.
Ah.
And he said they all spoke English, so that was the beginning of the end. It was
there you are. Zoom to Germany then. You know, it seems like high fructose corn syrup made sweeteners much cheaper.
Yes, absolutely. The thing was, it was about saving money. It was about making money. And so they were saving money and they were making money. So they were using something and it was cheaper. They were making more money. It was actually sweeter tasting than regular table sugar. And so it was to their advantage for the manufacturers of all of the different products where they're putting anything sweet in it. And they do that just to make the people more addicted to whatever it is because of the sweetness. But they don't realize that with the high fructose corn syrup, you're not actually doing anything to increase your dopamine or having any kind of, I mean, sugar is an antidepressant, table sugar, but high fructose corn syrup doesn't have any of that effect. All it does is make you think you're eating something sweet, but it's basically deceiving you.
But it's not sweet, and it's not giving you the dopamines, so you keep looking for more. Boy, when we get back, I would like you to catalog what you think the dangers are of eating high fructose corn syrup. We've touched on them here and there, but I'd like to list them on the fingers of our hand and see if we can come to grips with each one of them. And from there, I'd like you to tell us how to protect ourselves from what you see as a very dangerous food additive. And we add a lot of it. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson with Dr. Dana Flavin from Germany on high fructose corn syrup. Eat it. And, well, whatever. Well, this from a correspondent with respect to high fructose corn syrup. Look, he says, humans crave sugar and food companies crave profits at the expense of health. It has nothing to do with the type of sugar, but maybe it does. At least that seems to be the contention of physicians, scientists, pharmacologists, and Professor Dr. Dana Flavin. Is it true that there is no difference, Dr. Flavin?
No difference between sugar and high fructose corn syrup?
Yes.
Oh, that's a lie.
Okay, good. There it is. There seems to be a number of things I'd like to touch on as we'll spool them off here. First of all, you suggest that when we eat high fructose corn syrup, we lose our ability to manage our appetite.
Right.
And that works because how does that work?
Well, there are two hormones that regulate our being full. The ghrelins are with GHRELINS, I believe it's spelled. They're the ones that actually relate to having hunger, and the leptins will tell us we're full. And what happens with the high fructose corn syrup is that after 3 days of drinking a large, say 16-ounce bottle of a soda with high fructose corn syrup in it, what they found in humans was that their ability to be satiated was absolutely knocked out and that they were still hungry after what they would normally consume. So it absolutely alters your ability to feel full.
And thus you become a sugar addict because you're never full and you're always hungry.
And it's not just it's what it does is by doing this, it makes you want to eat more, regardless of whether it's sugar or whether it's hamburgers and French fries and all sorts of other things where you're eating more carbos. And this is something where it actually causes you to want to eat more, and it's often in the direction of carbohydrates.
And you mentioned it's a possible cause of gout?
Yeah, that's actually been published, too. In fact, well, first of all, some of the things that have been published and confirmed is not just gout. Gout is an increase in uric acid crystals in the joints. Part of that's from the acidity because it makes you so acidic that it has a shift in your metabolism, and that is an inflammatory reaction. But it also causes insulin resistance and obesity, and the obesity isn't just because of the fact that you're craving more food because your hormones to make you full are completely out of control. They don't work anymore. But it also is because high fructose corn syrup goes straight to sugar. It goes straight to fat. And so it makes you obese. Now, when you have something that for the general public makes you obese, causes insulin resistance, and causes impotence in men and elevates your blood pressure and elevates your triglycerides and also LDL. LDL is the bad guy for cholesterol because it helps to deposit it in the blood vessels, etc. It depletes vitamins and minerals. It causes cardiovascular disease, liver disease, cancer, arthritis, and, as you said, gout. So all of these things, it's a no-brainer. It's not worth eating it.
Well, is there anything it doesn't cause? Just astounded. It's just at the list there. It's just one thing right after the other. Well, and another thing is...
doesn't cause happiness, except for the people making money from it, because it doesn't increase the dopamine.
Uh-huh. Wow. The other thing that kind of popped up is that in a study, I forget what magazine it was published in, if 45% of the high fructose corn syrup tested positive for mercury contamination. And mercury, what, melts the mind, right?
Oh, it does more than that. It lowers your immune system. It seeds into any kind of, if you have one tumor cell and you start getting heavy metals into it, it'll increase its growth. And so it has an effect on your immune system, has effect on your brain, causes retardation, et cetera, in the brain, slowness of thinking, memory loss. I mean, it's a myriad of things that are all negative.
How is it that it's still in the food?
Yeah, that's a real good question. And I'd like to know why it is still in the food and what they're doing about it. This is it's a huge problem. I mean, I'm the daughter of an oral surgeon, and I used to play with mercury as a child. And when I read about the dangers of mercury, I thought it's amazing that I was summa cum laude, and I think I just overcame all the handicaps from the mercury. But to have it in the foods is a disgrace, because every pregnant woman who is consuming this high fructose corn syrup, and if there's mercury in it, it's damaging her baby's brain. And so basically, we'll be getting dumber.
Well, you know, there are people who would suggest that that's good, that we are getting dumbed down, and that would make us, I don't want to even go there, but there are people who would suggest that dumbing us down would be an objective of some people. Do you think that has anything to do with anything?
I hope not, but I can only say that it should be further tested. I don't know why the Food and Drug Administration's power, as far as protecting the American public, seems to be decreasing, and it has been over the past 10 years, that things are allowed where we know that they're dangerous, that high fructose corn syrup, knowing the toxicities and everything else, is still allowed. If there's mercury in it, as the publications have shown, I don't know if it's in all high fructose corn syrup, but if it is there, that alone is detrimental. Look, we even have mercury in our vaccine.
Yeah.
I mean, this is scary. And so you've got a situation where I feel that the public is not being properly protected from things like GMOs, from high fructose corn syrup, from mercury toxicity.
Well, we're going to have to take a quick break. We're going to ask, when we come back, we've got a few minutes left, we're going to ask you, how do we protect ourselves? Folks, Food Chain Radio program, right back. Do stay tuned. Well, folks, she is a summa cum laude physician, scientist, pharmacologist, and professor. And she says high fructose corn syrup in all of our foods, and most of our foods, suppresses our ability to manage our weight, thereby making us obese and subject to diabetes, hypertension, and with the mercury thrown in, the melting of our minds. Not good things to be saying about high fructose corn syrup. Before we go to how to protect ourselves from it, question caller calls in with a question about alcohol, whiskey, beer, and wine. Is there a relation between, do they use high fructose corn syrup in those substances, Dr. Flavin?
Well, that's a good question. I know they don't in Germany because they have too many laws to protect the beer. I don't know. That's a very good question. I'll check on it. But so far, I don't think so, because I don't think it would metabolize the same for the bacteria.
Oh, there you go. Well, that'll be an interesting one to look into. So how do we protect ourselves from all of this stuff that is not very good for our bodies, this high fructose corn syrup? It's ubiquitous, except for what is it not in?
What is it not in?
Yeah.
High fructose corn syrup is not in any fresh fruits.
Okay, there you go. So fresh whole foods are safe.
Exactly. Organic, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I only recommend organic because you don't need the pesticides either.
Right.
So I would say that all the fresh vegetables and fruits are have a normal healthy level of glucose and fructose in them that is not toxic or dangerous. But the foods to avoid are the processed foods and the processed drinks, like the soft drinks, that contain high fructose corn syrup. Read the labels. I can't emphasize that enough. I mean, when I was in Greenwich, Connecticut, I would go to Whole Foods a lot, and I always read the labels, because no matter where you're shopping, some of these stores have high fructose corn syrup, even if they say we have organic foods. But you have to make sure that whatever you're buying, whether it's organic or not organic, that if there's no high fructose corn syrup in it.
Well, do the labels say high fructose corn syrup, or do the labels simply say sugar?
Oh, that's a very good question. Well, they don't call it high fructose corn syrup anymore because they don't really want the public to know that it's still high fructose corn syrup. So they'll call it things like corn sugar, and they have various other names where they call it a sugar, but they don't say high fructose corn syrup. It's a deceptive manipulation, basically, of labeling to confuse the consumer.
So we can read the labels, but if we don't know what they're saying, it won't do us much good.
Right. That's a problem. That's a huge problem, and that's where they should never have been allowed to call it corn sugar or various other names that were deceptive when they were really saying high fructose corn syrup. I mean, that is a complete misleading the public.
So it's kind of back to the same kind of GMO labeling fight that's going on. So those who manufacture food essentially don't want us to know what's in the food, so they use spurious labeling to get around it, thus leaving us out in the dark. Dr. Dana Flavin, I want to thank you so much for joining us. How do we tune in with you out there in the world?
Well, I actually have a website. It's www.colmed.org. I have a nonprofit foundation, and although we do a lot of our work on cancer, we're very interested in other areas. Naturally, since I'm a former FDA official in toxicology, I'm trying to protect the health of the American public. That was my
goal.
There
you go. Colmed.org. Dr. Flavin, thank you. Folks, file this one under Mike Lowell's third law of the food chain: cheap food isn't. Thank you.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.